Well, good morning, and so glad that you are here, and thank you for the opportunity and chance for us to gather together and worship the Lord together. If you're a guest, thank you so much for being here. My name is Chris. I get to serve as senior pastor here at Second Baptist, and so grateful for the opportunity and excited about what the Lord has in store for us today. And so there are a few announcements I want to share with you. But before we even get there, several of you have asked, so I guess I will try to address this just to answer some of your questions. Yes, I do have a giant thing on my forehead. Apparently, I decided on Thursday to tackle the ground. No, Daydrian had no involvement with this. No, our staff had no direct involvement, although they helped administer care. Covet your prayers. I did pass out three times on Thursday here. Got to go make my first ambulance ride and inside the ER and so on and so forth. I feel well, still trying to figure out all that's going on, but I appreciate those of you that have prayed for me and continue. I'm grateful for Pastor Jonathan and Miss Linda who helped take care of me. So really grateful for them. And so just want to make you aware of a couple things that are happening. Be with us this evening. We have our annual trunk or treat and just an opportunity to minister to the community and hope that you'll make plans to be here. If you haven't signed up yet, I promise you, if you show up, we will put you to work. There are plenty of opportunities to serve and in plenty of different ways, either sitting in a chair and handing out three pieces of candy at a time, or wrapping hot dogs, or handing out water, or watching a game. There is something for everybody to do. So I hope that you'll make plans to be with us tonight. The event goes from 5 to 7. We're asking all of our folks that are coming, especially if you're bringing your car as a trunk, but even if you're just coming to help work, if you can be here at least by 4, and if there's a few men that can come, maybe even at 3:30, we have some different setup. We're going to set our bounce house out and a couple different things. So please come help us. If you can bring some more candy, we'd be grateful for that. We'd appreciate that. We are anticipating a large turnout tonight and looking for opportunities to minister to those in our community. All right? A couple of things that are happening and going on. We've been telling you about the Women's Christmas Missions Banquet. That is happening in December. There are still slots available. You can speak to Miss Linda or you can call the office this week and sign up, get a ticket, and take care of that. Also, we have our business meeting. We've gone to quarterly business meetings. Our business meeting, family business meeting, is the 21st of November. It's almost November, y'all. That's hard to believe, but it is nearly November. So hope that you'll make plans to be with us. That'll happen at 5 o'clock on November 21st. And then the last thing I want to announce to you this morning is we have put out the board that we use to distribute the items we need for our Thanksgiving boxes. We are doing those Thanksgiving boxes. This is where we give a Thanksgiving meal plus to families in need in our community. And you all have done so well with this through the years. It's been such a great, needed, neat ministry. And so for those of you who may not be aware, we have a board out there. It has sticky notes where Pastor Jonathan has gone through and just tried to break those items needed down into small manageable amounts where anybody could take one of those and be able to afford to buy those items. But the way it works is you go out, you look at those items, see what it is you may want to purchase, and you take you a sticky note or take you multiple ones or whatever, and that's just a reminder for you. And so we're just going to begin collecting those. We are in a little bit of a shorter window than what we have been in the past, so we need that back pretty quickly, okay? So it's out in the foyer, it's out, you'll be able to see it as you go. There's several of them stacked together, so careful and don't take, whatever it is, a 5-pound thing of sugar. If you take the whole sticky note, you're going to bring like 75 pounds of sugar, so or whatever it is, all right? So just hope that you're able to participate and help with that. So with all of that said, we want to focus our heart and attention and just trust in the Lord this morning. Ask Him to speak to us and be with us. This morning as I was praying through and looking at Psalm 31, there was this phrase says that I will be glad and rejoice in the Lord. I hope that you can say with me this morning and know deep down in the deepest of your heart that God has been good to us and He is worthy of our praise and adoration. And I just want to challenge you. We're going to pray in just a moment. And I hope that this morning, I've been praying this way, that as we sing unto the Lord, that that God of all heavens would look at it and go, man, they are glad. They are rejoicing in the Lord. I heard Alray pray this morning that we are not in a moment. We're not going to begin worship. We're not starting worship. We're not initiating worship. Worship is ongoing. Worship is happening right now in heaven. It's happening all over the land right now because churches are gathering. What we're going to do is we're going to stand in a moment and we're going to gather together and join in the worship that is already happening, okay? So let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, You are gracious and kind and merciful. We thank You for today. We thank You for Your love and affection. And God, I pray this morning that, God, as we sing truth to You, truth about You this morning, God, I pray that it would resonate deep in our heart, that we would sing with gladness this morning. We would sing with joy. That, God, that we would celebrate who You are and what You've done. And, God, that You would be glorified in our time together. And I pray You would bless this service for Your glory and for Your name's sake. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Father's will, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's will. I rest in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. My Father's world, the birds and carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, where shineth all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear Him pass. Cast my mind to to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone.
When sorrows like sea
my sin. Oh, the bliss of this glorious heart. My sin not in part, but the whole. His name
this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole. I bear it no more. It is nailed to the cross. What a great lyric, what a great truth to sing about a holy God who saw fit to save us and redeem us. And so thank you, Jesus. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to begin in verse 1. We have finally completed our last series, if you will, of chapter 7 through 10, and just continuing on through the book of Hebrews. And so, as you well know, in the last 18 months, going on 2 years now, the entire world, our nation, our community, our church, everything that you've been a part of essentially has been affected by COVID. And just all sorts of different things have happened. It has seemingly impacted everything. And along the way, I know for a lot of folks and in a lot of different capacities, There's been this particular aspect of our life that has been impacted. It has been maybe interrupted, dislodged, and that idea is faith. And understanding, what do we have faith in? What can we have faith in? And faith in what seems like every part of our life has been in some way questioned. In some way, we've had to struggle with this idea of faith. Can we trust the news? Can we trust the information that we're getting? Can we trust the medical world? Can we trust these leaders? Can we, and just so on and so forth. And you go down the list, and it seems like there's a lot of questions about faith. And this morning, although we're not going to talk about those particular things, but this morning we are starting a series on faith. And while I said a couple weeks ago, the next to the last sermon in chapter 10 that I preached, and particularly on the importance of gathering together, the message I preach better together, I thought it was the single most pivotal message I would preach in the life of our church up to that point. I believe this could be one of the more defining series for our church and for those who come and those who are members, because in the last 18 months, I believe this idea of faith has been turned on its head. And there are a lot of people, and probably many of you sitting here this morning, that you have been reeling, you have been free spinning of going, what do I put my faith in? What can I trust? Who can I trust? And so we won't be able to answer all the questions and deal with all, but I'm telling you, I believe the Bible from Hebrews chapter 11 has a word for you and for me about faith. And there's some great truth here that I believe over the next several weeks, we're going to dig in together. And my hope and prayer is, as that Second Baptist and each one of you, as we come out of this, that, man, there'll be some reestablishment to our faith. There will be some strengthening to our faith. There will be some resolve to our faith. And so this morning, I want to preach to you the first three verses in a message that I've titled Faith Defined. Faith defined. So if you have your Bible, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. For by this our ancestors were approved. By faith, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for your word. Thank you, O God, that my sin, not in part but the whole, has been nailed to the cross, and by your grace and mercy, I bear it no more. We bear it no more that have surrendered to you, Lord Jesus. And I pray you bless the preaching of your word. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. And God in heaven, I pray that you would speak to us here today. God, help our unbelief. You work and you move. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Warren Wiersbe said that the great achievers in history have been the men and women who could see the invisible and strive to reach it. Explorers, inventors, liberators, and pioneers in every field have always been characterized by the steady eye, listen to this, that sees the invisible and strives for the seemingly impossible. My fear is that we've undergone a difficult season in the last several months, and it has somehow diminished, it has pushed down our faith in every aspect of our life, and that we limp our way through life and we struggle and we cease to really live and believe that God can and who He is and trust in what God has done to see what God might do in the future. And so these verses, I believe, are essential for us this morning. And the main idea is this, is that living by faith is essential to the Christian life. for us to be all that God wants us to be, for us to fulfill the purpose and plan that God has for us individually, and listen to this, as a corporate body, our faith has to be unwavering. Our faith has to be greater than it ever has been for the glory of God. And if you're going to see all that God wants to do and produce in your life, it's going to take an unwavering trust in God and what He can do and what He wants to do. God really does want to do incredible things in your life. Now listen, He's the one that defines that. He's the one that sets that course. God wants to use you in ways that are unimaginable for His glory and the good of man. And you need to understand this morning, the only way that happens is it happens by an undying faith in the Lord Jesus and what He has done and what He can do. And so then the question of the text this morning is, are you living by faith? Actively living by faith. Faith. Did you get up this morning believing that God created this day to use you for His glory and man's good? Did you gather here this morning expecting, believing that God was going to have a word for you, God was going to have a moment of worship for you, that God was going to do this that we may glorify Him and serve Him, that others may come to know Him? What is it that you're living by faith? And so, faith is defined this way in a commentary. Faith apprehends as a real fact what is not revealed to the senses. It rests on that fact, acts upon it, and is upheld by it in the face of all that seems contradictory. Faith is real seeing. Faith is real seeing. So let's look at what the Scripture says today about faith and how it is defined. So number one, faith is defined. Faith is defined. Look at verse 1 with me. Now faith is the reality, look at this, of what is hoped for. Mark, underline, reality. Now you need to box, you need to star, whatever it is, however you want to do it, faith. Especially throughout Hebrews chapter 11. It's known as the faith chapter. It's the roll call of faith. It's the hall of faith. And we're going to see why that is in a moment. But all of Hebrews 11 is the primary purpose is about faith. Now, I need you to understand this in its context, right? So we've been studying the first 10 chapters. Remember, the whole book of Hebrews is Jesus is greater, right? That was a pop quiz. You failed, all right? So you didn't see it coming. I know it blindsided you. That's why we call it a pop quiz. But Jesus is greater, right? The whole book of Hebrews is that. And we've said it in different ways. Jesus is supreme. Jesus is greater. And so on and so forth. That we just kind of reinvented the wheel over and over again to say that in Hebrews, the author is saying there were these individuals that had trusted Christ for salvation. They started looking back to Moses after they came to faith in Christ, and they're teetering a little bit. They're thinking about it. Man, do I need to go back to this Old Testament, to this old sacrificial system? And the author is writing an argument, his closing argument in this big case to go, look, Jesus is greater. He perfectly fulfilled that. You're satisfied in Jesus. He's greater than the angels. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than Abraham. He's greater than the Old Testament. And he just on and on and on and on. Now we get to Hebrews chapter 11, and he has this great statement. Now faith is the reality. What does he do? Faith in what? Faith in Jesus. He's saying, look, you're looking back to all these things that are happening, and I'm telling you how much greater Jesus is, but here's where the rubber meets the road. Because to have all these philosophical ideas, all these theological ideas in our head, and not walking and making an impact on our feet means there's something missing, and it's faith. And so then here's the picture. Here it is, verse 1. Now faith is the reality of what is hoped for. The reality. The language here gives an idea almost as a title deed. So You purchase something, whether it be a car, a piece of land, or whatever, to show proof of purchase, show that it's real. You have a title and going, hey, here's the reality. Here's how you know that I own that piece of property. I own that object, this piece of paper. It's not it itself, but it's the piece of paper. Show that's the picture here, that your faith is the evidence. It's the proof. It's the evidence of the reality of what is hoped for. Hoped for. Now, hope for a Christian means something totally different than to a lost and dying world. See, hope for a lost and dying world, I put hope in something, and I'm betting that something's going to happen. I'm guessing. I'm thinking. There's a possibility. The greatest chance that that may happen. But hope, when the Bible talks about hope for a Christian, it is not as if there's something left to chance, but rather it is sure and steadfast. Why? Because our hope is in a holy God. That was a good place to say amen. You know, I preach better if you preach back to me sometimes. I don't know if you caught that yet, but the reality of faith is a reality of what is hoped for, what we're looking for, what we're trusting in, what we're placing our faith in. And that's the argument here, is that Jesus is greater, and the evidence of your faith, the proof of this is that we trust in not only what He has done, but what He is going to do. And he goes on, the proof of what is not seen. Remember what we said here in Woos' words, his definition, he ends with, faith is real seeing. Faith is believing and hoping in, remember the surety of that word, hoping in what we can't see. Because if you could see it and hold it and touch it and prove it, by all the ways that we want to, it's not faith, right? That's the idea of faith, is that it's something that we can't see. We can't put our hands on. We can't hold. Listen to what Thomas Lee said in his commentary about this. Says, eyesight produces a conviction about objects in the physical world. When you see things and you go, man, I know that's real. But listen to this, faith produces the same convictions for the invisible order. Listen to this one more time. Eyesight produces a conviction about objects in the physical world. Faith produces the same convictions for the invisible order. Your faith is your eyesight for the invisible. It's interesting because we talk to people about their faith a lot, okay, about salvation and all these things. And sometimes when we talk to people about their faith and who they are and all these sorts of things and what they believe in, and recently I had a conversation with somebody and they told me, said, well, I have a hard time believing in something I can't see. Something I can't prove. A lot of times this comes from a scientific background because, right, you want to be able to prove it, you want to be able to show it, all that sort of thing, right? But here's the reality. You and I believe in things every day that we can't see, whether we want to admit it or not. One of those is gravity, right? Now, this wasn't rehearsed. I'm fixing to toss this to a running coach, a pastor to a running coach. This may go terribly wrong. Are you ready? You fired up? All right, the pregnant wife is moving. That's a good plan. That's a smart woman right there. Boom, okay, all right. So what's then the picture then? If gravity did not exist, that would have just kept going, right? It would not have come down. We know gravity exists. We all believe in gravity, right? Other things that we believe in, air, oxygen, okay? That you and I, to the naked eye, we can't see. Good job, Brock, all right? There's no reward. You just, good job. All right, attaboy. But we believe in things we can't see often, all the time. But oxygen, you can't see all these sorts of things, and some scientist person going to come up to me and correct me, but stay with me, okay? You believe in it. How do I know? Because you're still breathing. You don't believe in it, you don't trust in it, quit breathing. And if you do that three times on a Thursday or... or, you know, I didn't stop breathing, but you pass out and then you believe in gravity, right? It happens, all right? Faith is the title deed to what you can't see. It is the eyesight of the invisible. And I realize we live in a day and time where people and things and politics and money and so all these sorts of things greatly infringe and hurt our faith in a lot of things. But I need you to see this. He says, faith is a reality of what is hoped for and the things not seen. Notice this, it is not faith in faith itself. Faith is not an end to itself. It's not on this circular wheel where you just believe in faith and you believe in faith. No, faith is believing in what is hoped for, things and not yet seen. We're going to look at that in a moment. We're going to talk about what is the object of our faith. Romans 8:24 says this, now in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. Because who hopes for what he sees? There's the unseen. There's the unseen nature of our hope, of our faith. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, so we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but look at this, but what is unseen is eternal. Man, we want all these things proved right here where we can see them and touch them and feel them and smell them, all these sorts of things. And the writer here, Paul is arguing those things that we can lay our hands on are temporary, they're temporal. But rather, we hope in what we can't see because it is eternal. And that is the living God. Number one, faith is defined. Number two, faith is demonstrated. Faith is demonstrated. Look at verse 2. For by this, by what? By faith. Okay? For by this, by their faith, look at this, our ancestors or our elders were approved. What's the idea here? The idea of approved is, New King James says they've obtained a good testimony. They have obtained a good testimony. They have been found credible. So what he's saying, here's what he's saying. He's saying, okay, faith is the title deed to what we can't see. We trust in what we cannot lay our eyes on. Then verse 2, for by this faith that we're talking about, the faith in what we can't see, our ancestors have proved themselves. They have become credible and they have provided a good testimony. How do we know that? That's why the importance of the rest of the chapter is here. I want you to look at this. I don't have this on the screen, so if you've got your Bible or if you're scrolling, bear with me. We're gonna do some quick surveying of chapter 11. So look at chapter 11. Look at verse 4, and I'm not going to catch all of these. I'm just going to skim through them. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered. Okay, verse 5, by faith Enoch was taken away. Verse 7, by faith Noah. Verse 8, by faith Abraham. Verse 11, by faith even Sarah herself. Verse 13 says, these all died, look at this, in faith. And he goes on, verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob. Verse 21, by faith Jacob. Verse 23, by faith Moses. Verse 27, by faith he left Egypt behind. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. Verse 31, by faith Rahab. And he goes on and then he just lists in verse 32 all these different individuals and time again. Why is he doing that? What is happening here? He is doing it because he is saying, look, faith is the proof in what you believe in, what you hope for that you can't see. And then he says, verse 2, he says, by faith, ancestors have become credible. They've left a good testimony. And then what does the author do? He gives us verse 3, but then after that, he goes on and he gives us example after example after example of individuals who left a good testimony of faith. The elders of this generation, these individuals, they left a good testimony. Hebrews 11:39, look at this. All these, look at this, were approved. There's the word, approved through their faith. They were approved through their faith, but they did not receive what was promised. Now, listen, in the context of that, what he's saying is they didn't live to see the day of Jesus coming, okay? They received the inheritance of eternal life because they were looking forward to the cross, and we'll get to that. That verse is coming. But they look forward to the cross, whereas we look back to the cross, okay? But I need you to see this. These all were approved through their faith. Who approved them? Listen, God. Because they lived a life that honored the Lord Jesus, and they lived a life with the invisible eyesight we call faith in what they could not see. The sight for the invisible. And so you need to see that, man, he defines what faith is. Faith is, man, it's this credibility of what we hope for. It's the reality. It's the surety of what we long for, what we believe in. And then verse 2, he's saying, look at all these examples. That's why we call Hebrews chapter 11 the roll call of faith. The hall of faith is what we call it. Because we have these incredible resumes of all these individuals by faith Noah, by faith Jacob, by faith Moses, by faith Rahab, time and time and time again of individuals who lived a life worthy of the calling of God, and they lived a life of incredible deep faith. And the Bible says this, says that they were approved. They received a good testimony. Friend, don't you want to get to the end and have somebody say that by faith, Joseph, by faith, Reba, by faith, Ron, by faith, Nate, that you and I live in such a way that the people who live on past us, they look back to your life and go, that was a man, that was a woman that lived a deep faith, a deep sense of conviction of who God is and what He's done. And so I told you that faith is not faith in and of faith itself. So number 3, faith is determined. So what do we put faith in? Who do we put faith in? Look at verse 3. Look at this. By faith, there it is, we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. So what's he making the argument here? He's making the argument that God created the heavens and the earth. He's saying we place our faith in a holy, eternal, righteous, powerful God who created everything. By the way, look at this. By faith we understand, verse 3, we understand that the universe was created by the, I want you to mark or underline this, Word. The Word of God. The Word of God. Now the common word, okay, don't miss this, the common word when referencing the Bible, talking about the Word of God, this, what we have, the common word in the Greek is logos. It's the Greek word for word, okay? It's often used to reference the Bible, okay? And so in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Logos, okay? And so the importance of that, it's reference of that. The word used here is not Logos. It's another word, and it's more about the breath. Okay, so that's the idea. So you say, why that? I'm glad you asked. Look at Genesis 1, 1 through 3. In the beginning, look at this, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the face of the earth, watery depths, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Look at this. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, many of you have read Genesis 1 and on into Genesis 2, and you see time and time again, the Bible says this, and God said, let there be, and there was. And God said, let there be, and there was. Sometimes we talk about illustrations where God takes and forms the world with His hands and all these sorts of things, and that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says God spoke it. God spoke it. If there was a big bang, it was simply the voice of God speaking. One of the most incredible moments for me to visualize the magnitude of God, one of my biggest God moments, if you will, in terms of my view of God increased, is the Creation Museum just outside of Cincinnati. And most of you probably have heard of Noah's Ark. They built a replica, if you will, as best they could to Noah's Ark. But long before Noah's Ark, they just had Creation Museum and all these sorts of things of creation science and Ken Ham and all this sorts of stuff. It's an incredible, incredible place to go. But Deidre and I got the chance to go several years back, and they have this theater room of sorts that you go in and you sit down in the chair and then you lean back, and the room is a circle, and the top is a dome, and then they suck this screen up against that, and then they take this projector, and then they start talking about creation, and they start with the very small things of our universe, of our earth, of our habitat, where we live, all these sorts of things. And for the next 45 minutes to an hour, they essentially begin to zoom out. And you're laying back, and of course things are moving, all this sort of thing. And you get to a point where you begin to fly through our atmosphere. Then you fly into outer space as you're watching through this. And then you begin to fly into the Milky Way. And all this, and a whole time, it's just pointing things into perspective of how far you are and how small you are and how big the universe is, all this stuff, right? And you get out and they try to paint the picture of all that we know is out there. And here's the deal. The more that our technology advances, the more that we find of God's creation. God said, let there be light. And there was light. In a moment, He spoke. And dear friend, I believe under the inspiration of the Spirit that the author stops here, says we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. Because listen to me, lean in really close. Let me have your eyes right here. If God created everything, the way that He created everything, and His Word tells us that He created everything, the way that He created everything, then we better trust Him in everything else. Because if He is God enough to speak all of that into existence, He took 6 days. I don't know if you know this. He didn't need 6 days, right? He just slowed it down for us, all right? Took 6 days to create it. Didn't need a rest on seven, but He set the pattern. If God did all of that, then certainly He is God enough to give us a perfect, infallible, holy, inerrant Word of God. And he's God enough to give us a perfect, infallible, inerrant, holy word of God that declares to us that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. And if he's God enough to do all of that, he is God enough to meet you right where you are and produce faith in you that you may receive salvation. And if God is God enough to do that, he is God enough to provide and meet you right where you are in the year of 2021, in the midst of COVID, in the midst of a pandemic. If God is God enough to do all of that, he is God enough to bring about all the good, all the thing he wants to do in your future. If God is God enough to do all of that, he is God enough to take and secure you, place you in your hand, take you, the Bible in Psalm 31 I read this morning, that he takes us and he places us in a wide stance, gives us a firm foundation that you and I will not be moved, that we may press on ahead. If God is God enough to do all of that, he is God enough to secure a place in heaven for you, that you and I may run the race of this life for his glory and man's good. He says, by faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God. Look at this. So that what is seen was made from the things that are not visible. What's he saying? The fact that you and I live in a universe that has order, that gravity is a thing and oxygen is a thing, and there is order to our universe. There is things happening in and around our lives. There are people being radically healed. There are people being saved and set free from addiction. There are things happening around us that we go, man, unless God did something, that's the only way that could have happened. Unless God intervened, this is the only way it could happen. And because those things are around us, what it does is it screams out, there is an invisible God that is worth placing our faith and trust in. John 1:3, all things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that was created. And don't we have this same testimony in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2? Listen to this. In these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. The Son is the radiance of God's glory in the exact expression of his nature. Look at this, sustaining all things by the word of his power. You know what that means is that, you know, our universe, our world, the earth hangs in the suspension of nothing at a perfect angle, rotating around the sun at just the right way and just the right timing, creating seasons and all these sorts of things. All of it doing on the suspension of nothing with the exception of the Word of God. The Word of God. And to think that God created all of the Milky Way, all of these galaxies, all of these things, and he created one earth, and he created it perfect, yet because of man's sin, we live in a fallen, broken world where there's disease and destruction and pandemics and all these sorts of things. And he suspends it perfectly, and he sustains it day after day, and yet he saw fit to create you, sustain you, to raise you up, to give you strength, that you'll make it here today. That you and I may live by faith. And by the way, I don't know, you know, it's easy to live in the moment and make really, really strong statements about whether this is the worst our world's ever seen and all these sorts of things and the greatest challenges for Christians, all that. And I don't know. But I do know this, we are in an incredibly difficult season, incredibly hard time. And I just don't believe that God has done all of this to bring us to this point to abandon us. as I read the Bible and look back on what God has done in my life, and you look back on what God has done in your life to bring you to this point, you and I ought to walk out of that door today with a deep sense of not only who God is, but what God may do. Church, I believe the greatest days of Second Baptist Church are still ahead. I really do. I believe the greatest days that we've ever seen are still ahead. But this is what I know. It's going to take a family that goes, I've got that faith. I believe that. And then we beg God for it, and we tell others about what He's done. Here's the other thing. I also believe that God may be getting ready to send one of the greatest revivals the world's ever seen. There are things happening right now all over our nation that you're not reading about in the news, that God is sending revival. I just heard a pastor this past week, Robbie Gallaty at Long Hollow over just outside of Nashville. And last Christmas, God impressed on his heart to have a baptism service. Last minute, got after it. Now it's a large church, but they set it up. And it was, I believe it was the Sunday between Christmas and the first of the year. So, I mean, y'all don't do this, but at other churches, people don't go to church that Sunday usually, right? Some of y'all catch that later, but it doesn't happen here, but I heard about it other places. So he set up a baptism service, and that day they baptized 99 people in one day. Now listen, over the course of the next 6 months, they would baptize over 1,000 individuals. Just recently, he came and preached at Cross Church in Northwest Arkansas. And they had over 200 men baptized just a couple months ago. Recently shared a story at his church, and a week ago today had 55, I believe is what it was, 55 individuals baptized. And folks, I'm telling you, there's stories like that that are happening all over our nation. And I believe the pump can be primed. Because here's the deal. If you don't believe right now that our nation needs revival more than it ever has, I don't know what it's going to do to take us to convince us to that point. What else might have to happen for us to go, oh man, if God doesn't do something, we're in great trouble. And I'm going to tell you, the answer is not in the White House. It's not in the governor's house. It's with the people of God in the prayer closet that are fully convinced that a holy God who created the universe can do what we haven't seen. And why not here? Why not? Why not ask God, beg God, God, would you start revival here? Would you do something unique here? God, would you start revival here? Would you start revival at Arkansas Tech? And could you imagine revival breaking out here, breaking out in our city, breaking out in a campus? It won't happen until the people of God get a deep sense of faith and a deep conviction to get on our knees and beg God for it. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you, and we thank you for your goodness and grace. God, I pray that, God, for any who might not know you, any that maybe have never been saved, God, I pray they'd respond to you through repentance and faith this morning, that they'd place their faith and trust in you for salvation. And if that's you this morning, if you'd say, Pastor Chris, I've never surrendered to Jesus for salvation. That's where faith begins. First, believing that He'll save you, that He wants to save you, and asking Him to forgive you of your sins. You just simply pray right where you're at, and ask God to forgive you. Ask God to be the boss and master of your life. Jesus to save you. And the Bible says God will save you. And then here in a few moments, when we begin to have our invitation, you come and you come, just take my hand and say, Brother Chris, I asked Jesus to save me, or I want to be saved. I want to talk more about that. Maybe some of you need to respond for other reasons. Maybe you need to be baptized. You need to come. So, Brother Chris, I need to take the step of obedience and be baptized. There may be some of you that have been struggling with your faith and just been in a dark season, a difficult time. You may say, I just need to go and pray. I just need to ask God to give me strength to renew my deep conviction in who He is and what He's done. And then there may be some of you that want to join me and beg God that He may send revival. Oh, how we need it. I'm going to pray, and when I finish praying, this invitation is open for you. When I finish praying, you come and do whatever God has led you to do. God in heaven, I pray in these next few moments that we would honor you. I pray for any who don't know you, God, that you would save them this morning. I pray for those that need to be baptized, that they would come. God, I pray for, God, those struggling in their faith. And God, you give them a deep sense of resolve. And God, I pray, would you raise up a group, a remnant here, that God, that we will resolve together to beg you to send revival, to do something incredible here for your glory and for your name's sake. I pray in Jesus' name. If God spoke to your heart this morning, you come.
Just as I am. come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcomed with open arms, praise God, just as I am. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcomed with open arms, praise God, just as I am. Praise God, just as I am.
We're going to continue. I'm going to ask them just to sing through that again. And here's the deal. I don't want to create anything. I don't want to manifest anything. But I also believe that there's apprehension sometimes to come and be obedient to God. And I'm not trying to make anybody get on this altar and pray. You may just want to kneel right where you're at. You may want to sit down and pray right where you're at. But folks, I'm telling you, there's something that God does when His people are obedient to Him. And I'm going to pray. And we're going to sing. And if you want to come and pray, you come and pray. If you want to just stand or you want to sit, you do what God leads you to do. That's all that this pastor's heart is. You be obedient to God. God in heaven, I pray that in this moment we'd be obedient to You. Not eager to rush out, not eager to leave this moment, but God, that we would rest in. We would settle in the moment of You meeting with us and You speaking to us and You moving in our lives. And I pray this in Jesus' name.
As I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee. But mercy.
come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcome with open arms, praise God, just as I am. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcomed with open arms, praise God, just as I am. Praise God, just as I
am. Amen. You may be seated for just a moment. I'm going to invite my boys here. This is Jeremiah and Isaac, and hiding behind Big Brother. But anyway, they both have recently, shared that they prayed and asked Jesus to save them. And so we are in hopes of baptizing them next Sunday. And so I want to come and just come before you. And so if you are in affirmation of them following the Lord in baptism, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. All right, come sit down. They ain't shy. So anyway, we are excited and looking forward to that. And just thank God for His goodness. Amen. All right. Well, hey, I hope you'll make plans to be with us for the next several weeks. We are going to spend a lot of time talking about faith and looking at these Old Testament examples. Be with us tonight. I'm going to pray in just a moment, and we will be dismissed. And just want you to know, we will have our men that are ready to receive the offering as you leave today. And just know this, as you give, you're giving to support ministries like tonight. I know many of you have gone above and beyond, and you brought candy and bringing candy tonight, all that kind of thing. But even your regular offering, your regular giving helps support these kinds of ministries that we can serve our community, be a hope and be a light. And so I just thank God for that opportunity and thank you for your faithfulness. So just know as you give, you support ministries like this that we believe will make an eternal impact. So anyway, let's stand and get ready to pray and be dismissed. We may need a couple extra men to help Mr. Mark in the back, so appreciate that. Let me pray. We'll be dismissed. Be here by 4. A few men come at 3:30, and then the event's from 5 to 7 tonight. All right? Jesus, You're good, and there's none like You. We thank You for Your goodness and grace and love. And Lord Jesus, I pray as we leave this place, there was to be a deep sense of resolve to our faith about who You are, what You've done, and believing what You're going to do. And Lord, we love You and we praise You. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
This is my Father's word.